You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Just in time for Pride. Chick-fil-A, the anti-gay fried chicken sandwich fast food outlet, beloved of social conservatives everywhere. The Hobby Lobby, if you will, of hardened arteries. They made the news this week. Republicans in Texas passed a bill to protect Chick-fil-A from discrimination after the meanies on the San Antonio City Council voted to block a Chick-fil-A outlet from opening at their airport. Because Chick-fil-A finances anti-gay organizations and political campaigns. Outraged, Texas Republicans, outraged by this one example of a chicken sandwich being discriminated against, leapt into action, and the governor signed the bill, which is why, as of this moment, a fried chicken sandwich now enjoys more rights in Texas than an LGBT human being. And it's safe to say LGBT human beings in Texas have probably encountered more than just one example of discrimination. If bitter irony had a float in the Pride Parade, it would be the biggest year after year. And speaking of bitter ironies, Republicans and Pride, you might not think a company that makes a big, hairy, rainbow, spackled deal about its support for LGBT people during Pride Month, during June, sponsoring floats, slapping rainbows all over their social media accounts, coming out with Pride-themed merchandise, you might not think that kind of company would donate money to a politician who opposed marriage equality or supported a ban on same-sex couples adopting children or regularly attacks trans people. You might not think that, but you'd be wrong. You also might not think that companies that finance the campaigns of anti-gay politicians would get perfect scores from gay rights groups, but you'd be wrong about that too. Joining me by phone to discuss this disconnect, freelance journalist Judd Legum, author of the Popular Information newsletter. Hey, Judd, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Dan?
Good. Happy Pride Month. So what is up here? We have corporations at Pride dousing themselves in rainbow everything, and you went and dug into their donation records and found out some of these corporations that are humping Pride the hardest are donating millions of dollars to anti-gay politicians?
Yeah, I just got really curious about it because I saw how much corporate visibility there was. I live in D.C., you know, in the D.C. Pride Parade, but also just online. And I tried to take a pretty narrow view. So I looked only at corporations that were getting 100% rating from the Human Rights Campaign and also donations by those corporations to politicians that got a zero on their congressional scorecard. And I found that nine of them, and these are people who, these are corporations, some of whom have, you know, rainbow logos on their Twitter accounts as well, had given over $1 million to these anti-gay politicians over the last just 2 years, just 2017 and 2018.
So there's nine corporations. Can you rattle them off for us?
It's AT&T, UPS, Comcast, Home Depot, General Electric, FedEx, UBS, Verizon, and Pfizer.
All right, so they've covered themselves in rainbows. They're sponsoring Pride parades. They're also financing politicians who hate us. It's like someone saying, I love you, I support you, I just bought a knife for this guy who wants to slit your throat. Please accept my love and support.
Yeah, and if you go through, and I tried to do this a little bit, you know, if you go through what that means, you know, what are politicians who get a zero? This doesn't just mean they're anti-gay. This means that of the, you know, 20 or 25 things that the Human Rights Campaign were looking at, they went the wrong way on every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have people who are pretty hostile in this group. And I think there's just a disconnect between the companies. And I think they recognize that the LGBTQ community is really important, both as a source of customers, but then for many of these companies, as a source of employees recruiting. But you don't see that reflected at all in their political giving. There's just a total disconnect.
How is it that HRC can give someone a perfect rating on queer rights when that organization, when that corporation is financing anti-gay politicians? I don't understand what HRC is doing here.
Well, I did reach out to HRC. They did get back to me. And basically, they just said, well, we don't consider that as part of our rating. I think they do consider if you specifically donate to like an anti-gay ballot initiative, but they don't look at donations to corporations. And they said, this is important research that will add scrutiny. So they're not really dismissing it, but they don't consider it now. And maybe they'll add it because they have over the years changed the criteria to get 100%. They've been steadily raising it. But it hasn't reached this yet.
Well, I hope they begin to take this into consideration. I don't think it's good enough to say it is off your score. You lose points on your score if you donate to an anti-gay organization or an anti-gay cause or ballot initiative, but nothing off your score if you donate to an anti-gay individual who actually has political power that you're going to help put in office so they can exercise that political power and harm the gay community. HRC needs to do something about that. Your analysis here, this original research that you did into these companies, it's really, I think, something that's going to exercise people who are already annoyed about the presence of corporations at Pride events and how sort of overwhelming and smothering the marketing at Pride has become.
Yeah. And I think actually, you know, right now there's a lot of emphasis on their internal policies, which are important. But if you think about it, those policies might affect a few thousand people, or maybe in this case of a really big corporation, it might affect tens of thousands of people. But the politicians who are in Congress, they're in charge of passing laws that are affecting millions of people. So if anything, these donations are having a bigger impact than their internal policies, which is where the focus is now.
Well, thank you for jumping on the phone. I think that the research you did is going to result in some changes being made. And these corporations that want to hump our legs so hard during Pride no longer being able to donate money to anti-gay politicians. I think you're really going to change things with this research, Judd.
Well, that would be nice. That's always what you're hoping for when you spend some time on something. But I think, you know, the first step is just the information getting out there. And I'm glad, you know, you're sharing it with your listeners. And hopefully, you know, people will be interested.
Judd Legum writes the Popular Information Newsletter. Subscribe at popular.info. And you should follow him, as I do, on Twitter at Judd Legum. Thank you so much, Judd, for doing this research, for digging into those forms and putting this out there. I think it's really important.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
All right, folks, you know what to do when you see AT&T, UPS, Comcast, Home Depot, General Electric, FedEx, UBS, Verizon, or Pfizer at your local Pride parade. Well, you could yell at their contingent going by. Be much better, much more effective if you got on social media and dogged them in their mentions and asked them about why. AT&T, for example, donated $2.8 million to 193 anti-gay politicians, UPS $2.4 million, and on and on. Can't have it both ways. You can't hump our leg at Pride and then slip millions of dollars into the pockets of people who want to harm us. Can't have it both ways. All right, coming up on today's show, on the micro edition of the Savage Lovecast, you can download for free tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and on the Magnum subscription edition that you can subscribe to at savagelovecast.com, twice as long, more guests, no ads. I brought on Stefan Deschaines, who hosts the Naturist Living podcast, to talk about nudism and why people like me get so freaked out about hanging around and letting it all hang out. Stefan's on the Magnum, and yes, I remained fully clothed for the entire interview. Thanks to Roman for supporting the Savage Lovecast. Roman is a men's health company that offers remote online diagnosis for ED and convenient monthly delivery of medication. For a free online visit and free two-day shipping, go to getroman.com/savage. Me Undies makes feel-good underpants your butt will be proud to wear and you will be proud to be seen in. They will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own. And to check it out yourself, go to meundies.com/savage. Support for today's show, support we are very grateful for, comes from Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk in your own home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you are done. It could not be easier. And right now, use Savage for this special offer. Includes up to $55 worth of free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Do not wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's Stamps.com. Enter S-A-V-A-G-E.
Hi, Dan. I'm a straight cis man in my early 30s. I have a kind of non-problem problem that I'm hoping you can shed light on. So first, I love going down on women, especially if they're older than me, but either way, often gets me aroused, but I love doing so even when it doesn't. Second, I'm not all that into PIV. And third, I don't want to make any big commitments right now for various reasons. So what I want is to have casual, affectionate hookups with women who like being eaten out. Now, in straight land, this occupies a bizarre liminal space where, for a kink app, it may be too vanilla, but for Tinder, it seems creepy to write, like, I want to go down on you in my profile. Like, a woman might see that and say, seems like a red flag. I know you say if you want something, you need to hang a shingle and put it out there. Is there a way to do this in, like, a non-off-putting way? Is there, like, an app for this or a term I should be using? Thanks. Love the show.
A year and a half ago, there were 2.8 million apps available for download at Google Play and 2.2 million apps at the Apple App Store. That was a year and a half ago, and there have probably been hundreds of thousands of apps added to those stores since. So I imagine that there could be an app just for straight guys who want to eat pussy with no PIV and no commitment. And if there isn't, maybe there ought to be one, because I have heard from plenty of women who want to have their pussies eaten but aren't interested in much else. There are women out there who don't enjoy PIV sex. They might have pelvic floor issues, or they just might not, for reasons, enjoy PIV, but they love to be gone down on it. And the expectation most straight men have when they arrive at partnered sex with this woman is that there's going to be PIV. And that expectation that PIV is straight sex and straight sex is PIV puts straight women under a lot of pressure to have PIV sex whether they want to have it or not. And there are women out there who don't want to have it. So, yeah, hang that shingle. And I would encourage you to hang it in both places. Find some kinky hookup sites, put it up there, but also put it on Tinder, put it on an OkCupid, put it everywhere. And you will scare off women who aren't interested in that, and you will attract women who are. And I think you should go with that older woman angle. You should let women know that you're into going down on and just going down on older women, and you'll probably hear from some older women in marriages where they don't get their pussies eaten, who just want a little bit of that on the side, so they wouldn't want a commitment either. You have a marketable skill set here, and you're just going to have to ova up and market it.
Hi, Dan. I'm a gay 33-year-old male calling from the Northeast. I have a question about being more sexually uninhibited. I'm currently dating an older man who identifies as a sex pig, and from what I've experienced, he definitely lives up to that idea and definition of being sexually uninhibited. It's very cool, very refreshing. It's exciting exploring my sexuality one-on-one with him. However, when out at a club, I found myself getting frustrated towards the end of the night when he is kissing or groping another guy, or seems to be encouraging another person or couple to hang around through sexual banter with them or physical acts. The most recent one, we were dancing on the dance floor. My boyfriend sticks his hand down my underwear, gives a really good whiff of my musk, and shares it with another person who is dancing with us. When confronted on this, he reports that nothing was going to happen and that he's going home with me, so what's the problem? So my question is twofold. One, am I overreacting? I kind of feel like I am, and I tend to blow things out of proportion, but I don't know how to overcome that. So the second question is, I can see how decreasing my sensitivity and insecurity to this would help me overcome overall and become more comfortable with who I am, taking the power and weight out of sexual acts and just being more carefree and uninhibited while still respecting the person I'm with no harm truly being done. And I can see how a lot of it is just in my head and the meaning that I'm placing on his actions or someone else's. So the question is there any literature out there that you might suggest that could help me understand some cognitive tricks to overcome and override some of these thoughts that have really been ingrained in me?
So if I understand your problem correctly, you're dating this guy who's a self-identified sex pig, and he likes to go to, you know, sleazy parties, sleazy gay bars, and get piggy. Is that right?
So I've known him for about 9 months, and I enjoy going out to the clubs, and just the music, the vibe, it's a really good thing. He's very close and attached to me, and we enjoy spending time together, yet like halfway through the night, like he's getting kind of more comfortable groping in the past. He's made out with other guys, and I've kind of told him I'm not comfortable with that. That wasn't part of something we had discussed early on in the relationship.
Do you have a monogamous relationship?
Yeah, that's what was agreed upon. And I think he and I have different definitions of what monogamy is.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem apparent. Yeah. And I try to, because I tend to date older men. I'm in my early 30s. He's in his mid 50s. And I try to really wrap my head around, like, is this me not having enough life experience and maturity and experience in the gay culture? And I'm just, I kind of go back and forth to beat myself up. This is a learning opportunity. This is something for me to.
Okay, well, let's slow down. Let me jump in right there. There's a lot of experienced gay guys out there, your age, younger, older, who aren't into the whole sex pig thing, who aren't into, right, you know, dancing all night or making out with randos in bars. There are a lot who are, but you can be a fully comfortable with yourself gay man and not want to hang out in a sleazy bar with your monogamous partner and watch him make out with someone else.
Okay.
Or watch other people grope him, or, you know, have him encourage other people to grope you. You guys need to get on the same page about what a monogamous commitment means. I have never met someone who described himself as a sex pig and identified with that subculture who was in a monogamous relationship or wanted to be in a monogamous relationship. Is monogamy your idea? Is he agreeing to be monogamous to have you?
That was actually something that was agreed upon, like, before we started dating. We were just, like, talking, and we both expressed, you know, what is the ideal relationship type for both of us, and monogamy was what was agreed upon. And I've actually raised the same question concern that you just kind of voiced, which is, you know, I know you identify as this. I don't see how this and this can coexist. It confuses the hell out of me.
And so, what does he say?
He's like, no, that's what I, and he tries to reaffirm that, no, that can and that does. And
okay. And are you confident that he's not fucking other people?
Yeah, oddly enough, yeah.
I'm not saying he is or has to be. There are people out there who make monogamous commitments and can honor them however they identify, wherever they fall on the pig spectrum. That said, you guys need to get on the same page about what monogamy means in practice. Obviously, it means no intercourse with anyone else, but he seems to, you know, be of the belief that you two should be able to go out as a couple and flirt with and grope and touch and make out with and share your dick stank with other people, get all sort of charged up together from other people's sexual energy, and then take that home and fuck each other. But it doesn't sound like you're comfortable with that, that you don't want to have these interactions or want to watch him have these interactions with others. And that's where you're going to have to find some compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's where his piggishness gets to be expressed, in just, like, being in a sleazy environment and sort of sleazing around a little bit, but not going home with anybody, not having an orgasm, not getting a blowjob, not getting fucked or fucking anyone. And he derives a lot of affirmation and sexual energy from that, and it's really important for his sense of sexual fulfillment. Can you allow that? Can you get comfortable with that? Can you enjoy that too?
Right.
Or is that something you need to let him go off and do alone? Confident that he's not going to get a blowjob in the back room, that he's not going to go fuck somebody in a car or get fucked by somebody else. Can you trust him out of your sight in this environment, pig that he is?
I think just based on the experiences and kind of being blindsided, it's just right now that's a no. So more conversations would have to take place before, if that were something we would go to in the future.
Right. Him being able to go out alone to a place like this.
Right.
Do you enjoy anything about being in a big place like this and everybody being horny and piggy and then people heading home with their monogamous partners?
I do. I'm a huge people watcher. I tend to be, I'm also a therapist. And so I just love to just kind of take in the psychology of what's going on around me and the culture. Mm-hmm. It's very, just exciting for me to be in the midst of it. So,
it's interesting that you asked me for cognitive tricks to help you overcome your socialization and what you feel may be hang-ups that were pounded into you by the culture about this environment. How many times have you been? How many times have you gone to a place like this and you shared your dick stank with other people or made out with somebody else in this kind of party environment?
He and I, or
yeah,
myself?
The two of you together.
Probably the stank was once. outside of that, two times that he's been groping and making out with someone else.
And each of those times, it kind of, you had a jealousy response. It made you feel insecure. It made you worried for your relationship.
It was insecurity and jealousy at first. And then I realized, like, the last time that it happened, it was just pure disrespect. It wasn't anything about me. It was more of like,
he knows how you feel about this. He knows you were uncomfortable in the past, and now he's just being inconsiderate.
Right.
Okay. So this is somebody's going to have to pay the price of admission conversation you two have to have. Obviously, this is important. You would say to him through your sexual expression, your sense of sexual fulfillment, maybe this is what makes it possible for you to have a monogamous relationship, that you have this other outlet where you get these sort of low key, low bore, low stakes, sexual erotic interactions with other men, but not sex. And if that is crucially important and that's a non-negotiable for him, is that the price of admission you're willing to pay? Where you're going to learn how to let him do that. And the price of mission, you know, and he needs to pay you back in a way by being a little bit more considerate about your feelings when he does these things. But can you allow him to do those things and have your feelings? And I mean him checking in with you, him saying, I want to go make out with this guy for just a minute and come right back. Can I do that? And is that, you know, if you gave him a yes, if he said that, would it be a yes under duress where you were like, oh, I guess I have to let you, but I feel terrible about it. When you get back, I'm going to have a meltdown and make you pay. Or can you give him a yes? It's like, thank you for asking. Yes, you may. I'll be right here. Don't be gone longer than 10 minutes. And if he can honor, you know, the 10 minutes and come back and don't get carried away, will that make you feel like your feelings are being taken into consideration in such a way that you get more comfortable with this part of his sexual expression and creating a space for it in your relationship where it's shared? It's something you two do together.
That would definitely just be at least validating where I'm at in the relationship and like you said, being very much more considerate of my feelings than he has been prior to this.
But if he comes to you and says, I want to go do this, and each time he does that, you're like, yeah, not tonight, not now, I'm not feeling it, maybe next time. You know, if you say, I can allow for this if you know, these things are done so that I know that my feelings matter to you, even in this moment, you want to get carried away a little bit. And he does those things and you're still not okay with it, then it's obviously not a price of admission you're willing to pay. And you guys need to either allow him to do this on his own because you trust him that it's only going to be banking out and getting a little carried away in a bar, or open the relationship, or end the relationship.
Right.
Because a sex pig might not be the right partner for you. Might have been a good adventure for you. Might have been a good partner for you for
absolutely.
The last 9 months. A relationship doesn't have to last forever for it to have been a success and for someone to have learned and grown. But sometimes, you know, people are with more sexually adventurous partners, and what they realize is that kind of adventure, the adventures that this partner likes who's more sexually adventurous, isn't their kind of adventure.
Right.
And there's no judgment in that. There's no shame in that.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm just trying to, if anything, put a lot less pressure on the relationship and just kind of just focus on the bigger picture of like life and personal growth and just say, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, whatever price of admission, I'm not okay to pain and vice versa, and just being okay with, you know, moving forward in whatever direction that happens to be.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for pulling over. Thanks to Roman for supporting the Savage Lovecast. Roman is a men's health company that offers remote online diagnosis for ED and convenient monthly delivery of medication. If the schlep and process and hassle of getting your butt to a doctor's office is preventing you from getting medication to treat erectile dysfunction, you should consider Roman. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Maybe it's embarrassment. Maybe you don't want to talk about your boners with your doctor. But here's the thing. ED medications work and they help, and you should access them if you need them. Of course, at the Lovecast, we take ED seriously. We talk about it a lot. There's no reason to ignore it. There's no reason to be embarrassed. And thankfully, Roman is here, and they've created an easy way for you to chat with an actual doctor online to get the meds you need. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. And getting started is simple. Go to GetRoman.com/Savage and complete an online visit. If your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Guys, don't suffer in softy silence. Go talk to a doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get checked out, and it can be treated and you can be helped with these medications that Roman can make available to you discreetly and quickly. Because at Get Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Just go to GetRoman.com/Savage to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. It is also a great way to support the Savage Lovecast. Again, that's GetRoman.com/Savage for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/Savage.
Hi, Dan. My sister has been addicted to meth for about 8 years, and she just recently has been clean for 108 days, and that's really great and awesome. But my parents are pressuring me to form a relationship with her that I'm not ready for. I told them that I need more time and that I don't feel that that's enough time to really be changed, because she has been sober for 2-3 months before and has gone back, and she's caused a lot of pain and suffering for me and my family. And I told them that I just really need to have some space and take my time, and I'll organically grow a relationship with her as she heals. Now my dad took this as like an attack and is now fighting me and telling me that I'm being judgmental and that I'm being a terrible person, and how wonderful my sister is, and how my dad is my dad, and so I should do what he says. Mind you, I am a 29-year-old woman, and I'm so confused. I'm pretty much getting to the point where I just want to cut him out of my life because he wants to control me, and if I don't do what he says, then he wants me to just leave. I don't know. It's just so confusing because, like, I don't feel that that's enough time for her to really be truly changed. But he thinks that she is completely changed. So I'm just at a loss now, and I don't want to lose my family. But at the same time, I can't be forced to have a relationship with someone who has stolen from me, lied to me, and pretty much treated me terribly for almost a decade. So is it best for me to just cut my family off, or should I just do what he says and force a relationship? I don't know what to do, Dan.
Your father can't tell you what to do. You are, as you said, a 29-year-old adult woman. You get to make your own choices, including choices about who you're going to have in your life and who you're going to be in relationship with and have relationships with. And right now you're not ready to have the kind of relationship with your sister that your father would like you to have. And recognizing your father is being a controlling asshole here. Best possible gloss on it is your father thinks a relationship with you might help your sister stay sober. Been sober for 108 days. Your father thinks, and it may very well be true, that the more people who reconnect with her, the likelier she is to maintain her sobriety. That said, it is perfectly legitimate for you to say, she's stolen from me, she's lied to me, we've had a terrible relationship for 8 years because of the drugs. I'm hurt. I'm raw. I have feelings, and I am not ready for the relationship that you would like us to have. But is there a different kind of relationship you can have with your sister to mollify your father, but also to help your sister out a little bit? Maybe you can text every once in a while. Maybe you can write her letters or emails and receive letters or emails from her and express your support while being clear about your need at the moment to maintain your distance while affirming her sobriety and what an achievement that is at 108 days to get off meth. That is major. But for right now, you're not ready to be in relationship. You're not ready to be there for her as a sister in the flesh, always available, whatever it is your father's imagining, the kind of relationship he would like you to have with your sister. And if that's unacceptable to your father, well, your dad can go fuck himself. I imagine your sister would welcome even a small degree of contact with you. And that would be helpful, that small degree of contact, as she struggles. And it's going to be a struggle after 8 years on meth, going to be a struggle, even 108 days, to maintain her sobriety. But yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. You are an adult. You get to decide who gets to be in your life and who you're going to be in a relationship with, who you're going to talk to and who you're going to hang out with. And you should make it clear to your father that you're not going to see her right now. And if that's not okay with him, you're not going to see him either. One last word about your dad. Your dad is probably angry, and he's projecting that anger he has with your sister onto you, because she's in recovery. She's 108 days sober. She's vulnerable. The things she did, the stealing and lying, which I imagine she did to your dad as well and other family members, not just to you, he's mad about, but he can't express that anger to her and may feel that he never can express that anger at her because it could imperil her sobriety. So that anger is sort of floating around looking for a place to land, and there you are, not ready to reconnect with your sister in the way he would like, and he's going to direct all of that anger at you. You might want to say that to him. You might want to tell him that you think that's what he's doing and that is not fair to you, and he risks destroying his relationship with you if he can't manage his anger in an appropriate way. In these hot and very sticky summer months, you're going to need something to keep you feeling nice and cool down there, but still looking so, so hot. I am talking, of course, about MeUndies. MeUndies uses the coveted micromodal fabric, which is a full 3 times softer than cotton, and cotton is already pretty darn soft. MeUndies, they take comfort to an extreme sport level. MeUndies also offers multiple style options for both men and women. Men can now try the new boxer brief with fly, which is the same great cut as boxer brief, but now with the added option for guys who prefer to go through the gate, not over the fence. MeUndies is also your go-to for the softest loungewear on the planet. Like me, you can hang out in their super comfy lounge pants, or you can try their onesies. Yes, MeUndies makes onesies for all over softness. They are incredible. Nancy and her daughters love MeUndies onesies. Me and my husband love the MeUndies lounge pants, and I predict that you will love your MeUndies too. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you make your MeUndies order, your first one, you get 15% off and free shipping. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever pull on and off. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee, and to support the Lovecast, go to MeUndies.com/savage. That's MeUndies.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I am a 41-year-old woman living in the Pacific Northwest. I was raised by a very Christian, extreme Baptist religious family. So recently, my parents, and I'm divorced, I am single, I have a great boyfriend. We've been dating for about 6 months. My parents recently went to a wedding for a family member in another state and asked me to watch their house for about 3 weeks. My boyfriend was excited to come over, and I invited him over so we could have a place to ourselves. The first couple of days I was there, my boyfriend came over after work, and we made out once, and then we went and had sex in the back room. Everything was fabulous. My boyfriend's awesome. Everything's going great. The next night, my boyfriend had a bad night at work, but I was there for him, gave him a back rub in our living room. No big deal. I'm saying all this to say, the following morning, I was in the living room at my parents' house where we had started our relations the one night, and I'd given him the back rub and stuff the second. And recognized that there was a camera in the upper corner of their living room. There was a camera, and there was tape over the lights to not show if it was recording or not. I was very weirded out. They had never told me anything of the sort. So I thought maybe it was a baby monitor for when they had the grandkids around. So I threw a hat over it. 1 week later, I had a uncle just come back from the same wedding. When I was not home, he dropped my parents' car off at their house so he had access to their house. And he went in and, unbeknownst to me, took the hat off of the camera. That night, been a week later, but it was first night I had my boyfriend back over. He came back over and we started making out again in the living room, went back to the bedroom, had sex, came back out, and we were sitting and watching something, both of us just kind of passing out, when I looked up and recognized that the camera was uncovered. I was super weirded out. I recovered it. I told my boyfriend. He was really weirded out. He was very calm, but he was very weirded out, said he never wants to be around my parents again, and I feel the same way. I am so not knowing how to handle this. Why wouldn't they tell me if they had this? I assume it was an Amazon Alexa camera because they have the Alexa and they put it in their living room. But were they must have been just checking up on me and they never told me it was covered and they wanted me to uncover it. I never even was informed it was there. I feel violated. I feel horribly like there was some voyeuristic thing going on because I like to walk around the house naked. So I covered the thing up, and to come back and nobody's told me they had somebody else come in and uncover it when I've never even been informed it's there. I'm grossed out. I don't know what to tell my boyfriend. He's grossed out by my parents, and I'm worried what this will do to our relationship.
Wow. Crazy. This is a crazy situation, crazy circumstance. It sounds like you're making a leap, though, that I don't think is justified. It sounds like you're leaping from my parents have a security camera monitor in their living room so that they can check up on their house when they're away, even when someone's house sitting for them, to my parents are perving on these videos, are enjoying watching me walk around naked or making out with my boyfriend. And that's the reason for the camera and the reason that they sent my uncle over, it seems, to uncover the camera. You have a right to feel violated. Your parents, when they asked you to house sit, should have let you know that they have this security camera, not in the bedroom. They weren't trying to catch you having sex. They don't have a security camera at the bottom of the toilet bowl. They have a security camera in their living room. You had a right to know about that because you're an adult, 41 years old. You're house sitting for them. You're staying with your boyfriend. Adults with boyfriends who are in houses sometimes have sex not in the bedroom in the dark, but in the living room with the lights on, and you feel your privacy has been invaded. And then what's up with your uncle showing up after you covered the camera to uncover it? If they wanted the camera uncovered, if that was a problem that you covered it up, why didn't they call you, their adult daughter, who is house sitting? Why did they send him over? I don't think it's because your parents are furiously beating off in their hotel room back at the wedding to these images of you and your boyfriend or you walking around naked. But it communicates a distrust, that your parents don't trust you alone in their home. And if that's how they feel, they shouldn't ask you to house sit. So you need to have a bit of a throwdown with your parents about these shenanigans, about the camera being there, about you not being alerted or informed that the camera was there, you feeling violated because you walk around naked because you had sex with your boyfriend or initiated sex with your boyfriend, and you feeling violated because you were walking around naked and making out with your boyfriend on the couch in the living room, which you would not have done if you'd known your parents could see. So you have a right to your anger here. But I don't want to round this all the way up to your parents are secretly perving on these videos. Your parents are being inconsiderate, and this was an asshole move, and they violated your privacy, and you had a reasonable expectation of privacy even alone in their home while you were house sitting, and they violated that. And they have some explaining to do to you. In your shoes, I'd also give the uncle a call and ask him what the fuck that was about. Be pissed. You have a right to be pissed. And don't house sit for those motherfuckers ever again. Are you having as busy a summer as I am? Then you, like me, definitely don't have time to go to the post office. That's why you need Stamps.com, one of the most popular time-saving tools for small businesses. Stamps.com eliminates trips to the post office and saves you money with discounts you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Post Office right to your computer. Whether you're a small office sending invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. It's that simple. With Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saves you time and money. It's no wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. Right now, my listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Savage. That's Stamps.com, click the mic, enter Savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 50-year-old straight female, and I'm calling because of a few reasons. I separated from my husband about a year ago. We've been married, you know, over 20 years, and it's the third time we've separated, and I don't see this working out this time. I'm pretty much done. He's in denial, but we're not going to stay together. But I also want to throw out there that aside from just the sadness and depression of being separated for the past year, I've also become perimenopausal. And that, I think, has just added to, you know, hormonal ups and downs and depression and hot flashes, which are absolutely debilitating. And aside from not having a regular partner, I also just have zero libido. And that is really unusual for me. To throw into the mix, I also have a colleague who I've been, you know, very flirty with for like the past 2 years. He's been wanting to date me, but because we work so closely together, I've always told him, you know, I would not, you know, date him because I think it's inappropriate. We work too closely together. But now he's transferred to a completely different department and we're not working overlapping at all in our work anymore. So he wants to start dating me. I'm still married. It's all complicated. I feel like I should probably date him. I'm attracted to him, but I'm also like asexual right now. So I don't know how to get back into the dating world. I haven't dated or fooled around with anyone but my husband for the past 25 years. So I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm at the edge of a cliff.
Many women, when they enter menopause, their libido tanks. Many women, when they enter menopause, their libido takes off, and some women, their libido tanks during menopause and then takes off after menopause. Some women experience vaginal dryness, which can make instill a kind of dread about sex, which becomes self-reinforcing, a negative feedback loop, which then makes a person not want to have sex, and they talk themselves out of having a libido. But that can be addressed with prescriptions and hormones, and you can talk to your doctor about that if you're concerned about recovering your libido. It's kind of convenient right now not to have a libido. Left your husband for the third time, the only person you've been sexually active with for years and years and years. And so right now, it's probably more convenient not to have a libido, not to have a sexual interest. Might keep you from going back to the husband for the fourth time. And it allows for you to sort of get out there on your own, to be a single and independent person. But there's this guy you might want to hang out with and date. For 2 years, you've been flirting with him. Probably don't want to have a discussion with him about menopause. You probably don't want to have a discussion with him about your libido, but you can say to him, look, I am in the process of leaving my husband and getting a divorce. I am free now in a way that I wasn't 2 years ago when we first met. You work in a different department now. It's okay for us to date now. And I might be interested in hanging out and dating, but that's it. It's going to have to be low expectation, but some companionship, some going to dinner, some going to see a movie, maybe a little bit of hand-holding, some intimacy I might be down for. But I'm not up for a full-blown swinging from the chandelier sexual affair. And you may find that that appeals to him. Not every man is just looking to stuff dick into every woman. He may just be interested in you as a person and interested in some companionship, or interested enough in you as a person and some companionship for right now, at the time being, to date you casually without any expectation or any pressure from him on you to be sexual. And then if you're dating him and you feel like you might want to be sexual, you can talk to your doctor about your options. If you're experiencing vaginal dryness tied to your menopause, medical interventions that can address that. And if your collapse of your libido is tied to hormone levels, adjusting your hormone levels with an intervention, if indeed you want to be sexual. Good luck.
Hi, Dan. I'm a straight cisgender male living in the Southwest. So my girlfriend and I are polyamorous. We've been poly for about a year and some change. You know, there's been like hitches and everything, but otherwise we're doing really, really well. When we started poly, my kind of, I guess, really main impetus for doing it was, you know, so I could have sex with escorts, because that's something I'd done before the two of us got together. And I was excited about, you know, kind of doing that again. However, like recently, you know, I've gone on out on a few Tinder dates and things of that nature. And a couple weeks back, I was on a date with this girl. And on the first date, you know, I just kind of mentioned like, you know, yeah, you know, I just got back from Vegas and I saw a couple of escorts and everything. And, you know, just because I felt like I should be transparent, her reaction was good. Like, you know, the date went well after that. Like, we kind of messed around in the car. And so the next day, like, you know, she didn't text me back or anything. I was wondering what was going on. And so finally she was kind of like, you know, the fact that you saw escorts or that you're seeing escorts right now is kind of bothering me, just because the way she explained it, at some point in her life, she had done sex work under not the best circumstances, like not being trafficked or anything, but just like really being in a state of desperate need. And so it kind of brought back memories. So I was like, I totally understand, you know, I get it. That's kind of a big ask. And, you know, later, like, we patched things up, kind of extended, and like, I've never seen anyone who was underage, and I've never seen anyone with a pimp, you know, and pretty much everyone I've ever seen has nothing but good things to say about me. So we patched that up and went on a second date, hooked up. So things are going well. I guess, like, my question is, in the future, is the first date too early to disclose that? I know that you talk a lot about people using good judgment and, you know, revealing certain things too soon being indicative of a person having bad judgment. But I just wanted to know, you know, do I have a responsibility to tell women that I could potentially be sleeping with, that I'm also sleeping with escorts? Or is it something that, you know, I could reveal perhaps at a later date, but prior to intimacy?
If you're in an open relationship and you're hooking up with other women, and the understanding is, at least at the outset, that these relationships are casual and that you do have other sex partners, you are obligated to disclose to these women that you're going to have these casual hookups with that some of your other sex partners happen to be sex workers. Sex workers are women. You are sleeping with other women, that some of these other women are women who you hire and tip generously is irrelevant. That's not information that you have to disclose or need to disclose. It isn't information that you should hesitate to disclose. There's no shame in seeing a sex worker, but you're not obligated to disclose it. And it's the sort of thing that the very disclosure on a first date, even if the other person has no problem with you seeing sex workers, it's going to demonstrate that thing that I talk about all the time that I think is important that nobody else ever talks about. It's going to demonstrate bad judgment. It just, the other person is going to think, even if I didn't have a problem with this, so many people might have a problem with this, that this guy may not have any filters or common sense, that he would just blurt this out to me, even though I don't have a problem with it. I do, however, potentially have a problem with being with someone who demonstrates bad judgment. So it could really screw up a relationship for you or a hookup for you in that regard. Could put some people off the whole sex worker thing, or others who aren't put off by the sex worker thing could be put off by the bad judgment thing. And it's unnecessary. You don't have to disclose this. As for this woman, the woman you disclosed it to, who did sex work under duress, and hearing that you were seeing sex workers was mildly triggering for her, took her back to that time in her life when she was doing sex work for the wrong reasons. And we talk about this on the show a lot. We've talked about it with sex workers. There are a lot of people out there doing jobs they hate under economic duress. Sex work is a job that people sometimes do under economic duress that they do not like. It requires them to make themselves vulnerable to other human beings in a way that maybe flipping burgers, a job people do under economic duress, doesn't. You can say to this woman, here are the steps I've taken to make sure that when I am with sex workers, I'm with somebody who's not only doing this for all the right reasons, but likes the job. And those women, those sex workers, they're out there. A lot of them are on Twitter these days. Seems to me there's a lot of overlap between women who enjoy doing sex work and women who are advocating for sex workers and sex workers' rights and themselves on Twitter. So that's a good place to start for people who don't want to get with the sex workers doing it under economic duress. But you can tell this woman, here are the steps I've taken. And maybe because she has personal experience and lived experience with doing sex work under duress, she can help you think through some other steps you can take to make sure that you aren't with someone who isn't enjoying the job. And that will make her feel more comfortable with you as a human being and a sex partner. But we're far afield from your question, which was, do you need to disclose this on a first date? And the answer to that question is no. All right, before we get to your response calls, let's read your tweets. Stealing Zen tweets, sad that I will probably never be able to call into the Savage Lovecast because I've been listening to Fake Dan Savage so long, I already know what he'd say to any issues my boring ass would have. I would encourage you to call anyway. You never know. And sometimes it's nice to be told to do what you already know you need to do, so do feel free to call. Juliet tweets, wouldn't call myself a kinkster, but always love hearing Mistress Matisse on the Savage Lovecast. So smart and funny. Thank you, Dan, for having her on. We love having Mistress Matisse on. She's been a regular guest going back to the first months of the Savage Lovecast, and we will have her on again in the future. And finally, Danielle Fillett tweets, loved Fake Dan Savage's take on the straight pride parade today on the Savage Lovecast. What do you have to be proud of if you're not doing something to improve the lives of your fellow heterosexuals? And of course, an important footnote here, harming the lives of homosexuals does nothing to improve the lives of heterosexuals. As I said at the top of the show, you can improve the lives of heterosexuals by fighting for universal basic income, for access to birth control, for access to abortion services, for fully funded childcare. There's all sorts of ways heterosexuals could be out there fighting to improve the lives and lots of heterosexuals and everybody else too. But they're not. The haters are marching in Boston to hurt gay people, not to help straight people. And that's nothing to be proud of. All right. Now your response calls.
Hey, Dan. This is a impact bottom on the East Coast. My comment is for the other impact bottom who had the question on the most recent S&M show about not being able to be bruised anymore after a long time of going about the BDSM scene. This has happened to me as well. Me and my master looked into it, and Mistress Matisse was totally right. It's he calls it leather arse, and basically your body just adapts to the beatings that you're taken. Our workaround for that, because of course I was also very upset for losing my bruises that I love as well, is that we did introduce canes too. And at first I hated it and I still kind of do, but you know, they do leave their marks. And we've just progressed into me being able to take harder and longer beatings. And it's just basically you need to find a workaround for it. We also find that I do bruise in other areas, you know, my inner thighs, biting on the tits. It's not just your ass that can take a bruise. So safely find other places where you can have those.
Hi, this is a response call to the recent S&M episode. Calling because I'm a doctor, and I don't think that the advice to take aspirin so that you bruise more easily is good advice. If you're taking enough aspirin that you're going to cause bruising, then you might be causing yourself to bleed in other places that you don't want to, especially when you're engaging in BDSM activities. So just something to think about if you're taking aspirin to bruise more easily.
Hi, I'm calling in response to the guy who called in and thought it might be a good idea to use women as pawns and ultimately watching Republicans making abortion bans and watching Republicans crash and burn. I don't want to ridicule this guy too much because I'm glad he's at least engaging, but dude, did you even run this idea by any woman? Why don't we do this? Because more of us will lose our bodily autonomy and then potentially die. So we need men to be feminists with us, but goddamn, we also need them to do it better.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz, 206-302-2064. 2064. Hey, Kinksters, do you want to see more sex-positive representations of you and your community? Make a film for my Dirty Little Film Festival, Hump. I'm looking for all kinds of kinky films, from hardcore bondage to fun BDSM roleplay and everything in between. All of it, including vanilla sex, has a place at Hump. Show us, share with us your consensual kinks, and there's a chance you will get into the festival. And if you get into the festival, there's a chance you will win part of the $20,000 in cash prizes, including the $10,000 Best in Show Award. And if your film makes it into the festival and goes out on tour, you get a percentage of every single ticket sold on the Hump Tour. For more information, go to humpfilmfest.com/submit. Follow me on Twitter at @FakeDanSavage. You can follow the Naturist Living podcast on Twitter at @NaturistLiving. And you can find your way to more of Stefan Deshane's work through at @NaturistLiving on Twitter. Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. We'll all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.